5, verse 35, and it reads like this: Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And of course, the Lord Jesus is speaking. He is God, and God is a creator of everything. And so his words will not pass away. We might pass away, but his words will not pass away. And so we're going to think tonight about some passages in Scripture that teach us something about the shall nots in the Bible. But we'll deal with those in a minute. Has everybody got their book ready for the test? For the highway code? Are you all ready? You did tell them, Barry, that they're having a test of the highway code. No, no. Did that send little shivers in your spine? Do you remember those days? You see, when we did our driving tests, some of us who were of a certain age, some of us didn't do our driving tests of a certain age, but anyway, I'm talking about myself. We did the practical, and then the test examiner would just loosen his seatbelt and turn to you, and he would say, "Now, Craig, I've got some questions for you." And he wasn't going to ask your age and, you know, what music you're into. He was going to ask questions. And I know it's hard to believe, but he was going to ask three questions, only three. And all the young people at the minute are thinking, three? We had about 30 in our test on the computer now. And he would ask you three questions. And, you know, those road signs you've been staring at, you know, from 16, 17, if you're keen like me, and staring at, looking page by page. But when he spoke, "I'm going to ask you three questions," you were really hoping that you'd seen all the ones you needed to see and you could remember the ones he wanted you to remember. And he never said, "What does the stop sign mean?" or "give way sign," because it's got it written on there. He always would ask something ridiculous, you know, "What does the exclamation mark mean?" Does everybody know what the exclamation mark means?
Caution.
Caution, yeah. And, so he would always ask you something difficult, never, you know, nothing easy. But those signs mean something to us, don't they? If we drive, and even if we don't drive, they mean something to us. Even more so, some of us, and, you know, this isn't confession, you don't have to tell me afterwards, you just have a little think to in yourself. Even more important are those signs. When somebody questioned you about that sign that said 30 miles per hour, and that certain somebody wasn't now your examiner for the test. Actually, he seems quite mild compared to the police officer that's standing right next to you. And he asked you the question, "Did you see that sign that you drove by?" Well, actually, four signs that you drove by, as they sometimes point out. "Did you see the sign that said 30 miles an hour?" Isn't it frightening if any of you have had that experience where you've been questioned by someone in authority about something or someone or some area where you may have transgressed, you may have exceeded the limit? Well, signs are very important, aren't they? I mean, there's signs in the Bible, all the way through the Bible. And there's signs that warn us about dangers ahead. Mind you, praise God, there's signs that remind us about a future which is possible. An eternal life which is impossible, that is possible with God. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. The Bible has more really about heaven than it ever had about hell. But the reality is, and the joys of eternal life, that's something we don't talk about. But the reality is, signs are very important. So we're going to have a little test, if that's all right with you. So you've got You got your notes ready? Somebody's writing down already. I hope this doesn't come. I hope you're not learning to drive, because it could be absolutely embarrassing if I get this wrong and your examiner goes, "Who said that?" Hopefully you won't know me, but anyway. So let's have a look then. So what's this slide? So what's this going to tell us, this road sign?
Wild animals.
Yeah. Possibly wild animals, yeah. Oh dear. That's what you got to think when you see that slide. Right, what about this one? Oh, this one. What does that one mean? Yeah, no red cars can overtake. Absolutely correct. So if you've got a black car, you'll be absolutely fine to overtake. What about this one? Somebody's got the idea. What do we think about that one? No, prohibited traffic. So you can't have a motorbike or a vehicle, or flying motorbikes if you want. What about this one? Midlife crisis. Yeah, 40. Yeah. I'm just teasing you, really. They're important signs, aren't they? Well, I have one more. See if you can get this one.
Don't pick up too much.
Man with an umbrella in the road. Yeah. They're important signs, aren't they? I mean, I've made a bit of a mockery of them, but of course, if I'd have said that on my test, I would have failed miserably, wouldn't I? It's interesting, you know, we see stop signs, don't we? And some of the stop signs in the Bible have a shall not in them, certainly in King James, and most of translations will have a shall not or should not. And really, when the Bible uses that expression, it's the idea that you need to think carefully. You need to stop and think about what's happening. And in relation to your soul, in relation to your spiritual life, the Bible really reveals to us that though we're living physically, we're dead spiritually. And we need to be made alive. We need to stop. And we need to listen to God's word. And through the Bible, God will say to you, "Now I want you to stop and listen." Me and my wife have been doing this the last couple of days. We've been reading through Proverbs, and not together, just separately. And then we've had a target of sending each other the verse in the chapter that day that stands out. And it's interesting, when we're doing that as a couple, you know, we're saying, we send each other texts, and sometimes we send the same text, and sometimes, well, I say that, we're only in Proverbs 2, so we haven't got that far. But nevertheless, we've done it before where we've sent each other texts, the same text, different text. And it's just that one of those verses has caught our attention. Now, God can catch your attention. You don't have to come to here, to the church. I wouldn't discourage it, but you've got a Bible, haven't you? And if you haven't, I'm sure there's one here, Barry, they can have. And you need to take it home and you need to read it, because God will speak to you through it. And if you're earnest and you seek, then you will be, it won't be long before all of a sudden you stop and you think, "God is speaking to me, I need to listen." That is the power of the word of God. It's not me or the way I express things or the way the preacher does or the way Billy Graham did or any of these preachers. It's the word of God that catches people's hearts and minds. And so the first thing to say tonight is to read God's word, because you'll never ever hear anything necessarily from God, maybe in circumstances of life to a degree, and maybe in creation as the Bible would teach us. But if you read the word of God, the living word of God will make you stop and make you think. But there's different types of stop signs, isn't there? If I said to you, "What does that stop sign mean?" What does it mean? Who knows? Yes, children crossing. And the person that holds this sign is a very brave individual. who in all weathers will stand with a pole with his sign on. And she's the lollipop lady, as we used to know her, or man, it doesn't matter. And they will stand, they'll put themselves in danger, won't they, to warn oncoming traffic that there are children crossing the road and that traffic must stop. And so there are stop messages in the Bible that remind us that there is danger. We must be careful because there is danger. And these are often the messages that people focus on when they think about Christianity. They say, oh, well, the Bible tells us we can't do this and we can't do that and we must stop this and we must stop that. And that's what they focus on. But God does it for good reason, because God wants us to be safe. God wants us to be saved through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came here to earth. He wants you to be safe. The teachers in the school wanted you to be safe. The lollipop lady wanted you to be safe. Your parents wanted you to be safe as they said to you, listen to the lollipop lady. If she says cross, you cross. If she says not, don't cross. You see, they want you to be safe. God wants you to be saved. And then you'll be safe. But then there are other stop signs, and this is where you might, I don't know, you may raise a bit of contention, but have you ever seen these signs? Who knows what the one on the left is? National Trust. Who's got membership? Yeah, family days out, cheap days out, don't have to pay for anything, let the kids run in a field, feed a sheep, whatever. And who knows what the right-hand sign means? I mean, it kind of gives it away a little bit. Expensive diesel, absolutely right. Expensive food. But for us with small children, a toilet. You know, and thank goodness that it's only 10 miles away, not 20, because, you know, our children might need this sooner. Now, you stop at those services and you stop at the National Trust, don't you? But it's not because you're scared to go any further when you arrive there. You've got to stop because this place is dangerous. You're stopping because there is refreshment and there is goodness. There are things to enjoy, and praise God. Through his word, he gives us stop messages that remind us that he has refreshment and goodness for us. Stopping is not all about not doing something. Stopping is sometimes recognizing what is on offer and to see what there is. And so the Bible tells us some of the stops that we need to be cautious of. Now, the Bible and its messages are for everyone. When you're on the road, you know, you see the messages on the road, and you see perhaps on the left. How old do you think those people are in that picture? Ancient. On the left. Young, yeah. Well, the people on the right. Go on, you can say it now. Ancient, yes, possibly. I would never dare say it. But you see, there are signs and messages, and it doesn't really matter how young you are or how old you are. There are warnings and messages for you even now. Some of you may not have ever stopped to think where you stand before a holy God, a righteous God. And you may be a child or you may be old, and still you've never actually thought about it. But nevertheless, God is warning you and telling you to consider your life. What is it? It's a vapor. It's going so quickly. And some of you older ones will say, it doesn't seem 5 minutes since I was like these girls at the front here. And I was sitting in church and hearing this message. And now I'm older and I'm hearing the same message. Listen, have you ever received Christ? Have you ever got the message to receive Christ? And so those messages are for all of us. And we're going to just think about three stop signs in the Bible that remind us about the dangers that are ahead. And we're going to think about three which remind us about the good things that God has for those who believe. And so here we are. Here's the three verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he is writing to a people who is reminding that they are not, they were in a position where they were never going to inherit. And the expression in the verses, shall not inherit, he says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then if you turn to the verse, you can read it up there, he begins to list the kind of people that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now my question is, I don't know you, but are you in that list? Now maybe you look at it and you say, well, you know, I think they're pretty rough people. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, or well, I've never done that, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, who hold it, nor covetous. Well, you know, sometimes I really want that thing that my friend's got, and, you know, I'd be quite happy if he fell off it and I could have it to use. And, well, not drunk. Well, there was that time, you know. No revilers and extortion as well. You know, I didn't really mean to skip the tax and do a little bit of fraud that way. But, you know, I was just paying a builder and he just said to me, you know, if you just pay me cash, I can just forget about it, you know. You see, the more we read these kinds of lists and the more we examine the Bible and we read, especially when the Lord Jesus spoke to a man who said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you can't do anything to inherit. You don't do anything, you just inherit. But nevertheless, he said to that man, you're lacking something. And as we begin to read the Bible, we'll still see this, that we're always lacking something. And because of that, we shall not inherit. If we are on that list, if we can be honest with ourselves and say we are on that list, and if we look through the Bible, not just this verse here, but other verses as well, and we fit within the category of what the Bible calls a sinner and someone who has offended God, not just now the policeman or the test examiner or the teacher, not now our parents, because that is sometimes all sin. But sin really is what we have done wrong before a holy God. And God says this. And Paul says this in the Spirit of God. He says, you shall not inherit. Do you know what? He spoke to these people. He says, don't you remember what it was like? You were not those who could inherit. Now, we all understand, don't we, the importance of inheritance. Inheritance is something that comes as a result of being a child, doesn't it? Or a relative of that person. You have to be related. You have to be... we love these programs that called Air Hunters that go around and they chase to find the people who will inherit money, and they're looking and looking. And but you understand that God is holy and righteous, and we are unrighteous. We naturally are not God's children. We've disobeyed God. We've separated ourselves from God. And God cannot just give us the kingdom. God cannot just make us part of his kingdom. We shall not inherit. But then here's another one in the Bible, the Lord Jesus again speaking. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, you shall not live. He says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so God, the Lord Jesus, is saying this. You know, you're not really living. You're not alive. The Bible tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. And the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And what he's saying is this. It's not about the physical things. It's not about whether we have enough food. That's important. Yes, it is. It's not just about whether we have enough money in the bank account. It's not just about whether we have good friends and a large family. He says this, no, you'll not live by bread alone. but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now listen, when did you listen to the mouth of God? Tell me, when was the last moment you listened through God's word and listened to his voice? Was it this morning? Was it a couple of days ago? Was it a week ago? You've not relied on anybody else, surely. You have read the Bible. You have taken up the Bible and read it. Because out of that, the Bible is the very words of God. The words that proceed out of the mouth of God. When did you last read them? Oh, you say, well, I attended church last week and we read some. Well, that's maybe. But listen, were you listening? Did you hear God's voice speak? This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. It's not just the fact that God speaks. It's the fact that you're listening. Man shall not live. Do you know what? Some of you are young. And some of you here are living what we call life to the full because you're young. Nothing aches when you finish the day. You saunter into bed after a late night and you saunter out early, bright early the next morning, and it's like nothing. For some of us, or as an anaesthetist put it, when I turned 40, he said, if you get out of bed, nothing hurts after 40, he says, you're probably dead. Which was a lovely, encouraging word that he had for me. Something to look forward to when I turned 40. But you see, some of you, you'll say, I've got life. I'm young, I'm fit, I'm well. Well, maybe some of you are retired and you say, I've got life. I've retired. No longer do I have to do what the boss says. I'm my own boss. I've got life. Listen. Physical life is one thing. Spiritual life is something altogether different. And I want to ask you, and God's word wants to ask you, have you got spiritual life through the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Lord Jesus said, you shall not live by bread alone. You can live physically, but the Lord Jesus said, there's not, the physical things will all pass away. The money, the family, the friends, what do you take to the grave with you? Absolutely nothing. But if you've got Christ, you've got everything you need for eternity. And so the Lord Jesus says, you shall not live. You shall not inherit, Paul says. You're not part of the kingdom if you've disobeyed God, if you've forsaken God's laws. We're all guilty. But the Lord Jesus said, you will not live. Your life now is nothing compared to what it could be if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Now, young people here, do you believe that? Because the devil's biggest lie out today is that by reading the Bible and by praying and by doing and listening to the words of God, you'll become very boring. That's what the devil wants you to think. And you won't be very cool at school. And you won't have a very interesting life. Listen, Satan wants you to think that because he knows that the words of God are the words of life. Listen, your life will be fuller and greater and mean something more for eternity if you listen to the words of God through his word. Lord Jesus said, you'll not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there's the third one. Before we think about too much of the warnings, but the shall not enter, the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so not now the inheritance, not now the life that you live, but you shall not enter. This is something to go into the kingdom of heaven. You shall not enter. What does he say? Except you be converted and become as little children. Now, if I asked you what you needed to do to get to heaven, if there was something you needed to do, what do you think it would be? I mean, maybe some of you say, well, I need to live a good life. I need to be intelligent. I need to try and do my studies. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to be able to help people. Now, the Lord Jesus says something completely different. It was very strange. They thought, he said, except you be converted, become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what that tells me? This, the passage to salvation is simple. God has made it easy. Why do I say that? Because little children can understand it. Now my daughters understand it, and they've said they've understand it, and I've enjoyed that they've understood it. You see, they've heard the words of God. They've listened to the word of God through the preaching or through the Sunday school or through some teaching. And with expectant, hopeful hearts, knowing that he promises to be there, they've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts. Now, when we get older, you see, we think that the way to salvation sometimes is to get more intelligent. And there are people that are far more intelligent than me, and they still haven't found Christ. And they thought that if I could just study and I could explore and I could try with man's wisdom to understand. You know, God says man's wisdom is foolishness. And God's wisdom is foolishness to man. God is our creator. We can't ever understand our creator. We can't ever appreciate who he really is. We'll never understand God. But if we come as children in faith, we can believe and we have entrance in to the kingdom of heaven. So these are warning signs. These are warnings that tell us about things that are warnings. We cannot inherit, we will not live. And you think you're living now, but trust me, if you've not got Christ, you're not living. You're just existing and surviving. And we shall not enter. You know, the Lord Jesus was saying this to some people who knew scriptures, knew the Torah very well. The Old Testament scriptures, they knew it better than we know it. I tell you, it was a shock to them. Those Jewish leaders, they thought, who is this telling us you need to come as a little child? They were foxed by it. They were vexed by it. They wanted to kill him for it, because they thought, you know, here he is and he's saying we must come as little children. We've spent our lives learning the scriptures and learning this and learning that. And who does he think he is? But the Lord Jesus and God has made it very simple for us. God has not made it difficult. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. And we must not go into God with our own intellect. We must go with simple childlike faith. But then lastly, just some shall nots. These are shall nots of blessing. These are stop signs that remind us that if we pay attention to what God says, then we will have blessing. Luke chapter 7. Blessed is he, the Lord Jesus said, who shall not be offended in me. If we stop and are not offended by the Lord Jesus. Interesting, you know, the one word and the one name that comes up when people blaspheme or they speak obscenities. Often the name that comes in is Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? When you are talking to somebody about God and the Bible, and maybe you mention the word Jesus, and it's like a light bulb gone out. I'm not interested. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't want to know about him. Jesus is a real mark of distinction of what people are and what people think. You just say, in the middle of a conversation, Jesus, what do you think of him? And watch. Some will go one side and some will go the other. Let me tell you, there's not many that are in the middle. He's a rock of offence. But he says this, whosoever, blessed is he that will not be offended in me. Now that means this, that you, when you come and you open God's word and you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you just simply seek to understand him. to take him as he is in Scripture. John, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said this: I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Here is the person now hearing the word of God. Here is you, now in your bedroom floor, reading the Gospels. And the word of God is speaking to you. The Lord Jesus is speaking to you. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Was there a moment? Is there a moment? Please let there be a moment when you read the word of God, and the word of God speaks to you, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of eternity. And as soon as that happens, you will not come into condemnation. That is the overarching judgment that waits all of us. The condemnation that is like a thick cloud sitting over us. You think about that this summer as you see thick clouds gathering on Tuesday, Wednesday. Think about this. Think about the cloud of judgment that awaits your soul in eternity. When it is, we see the Lord Jesus for who he is. We see him dying on the cross. And we say, yes, it was for me that he died. It was for me that he bore that judgment. And immediately, we have that cloud lifted. Condemnation has gone away because we realise the one who got it was the one on the cross. What an experience you could have tonight, put on into your life, the rest of your life, knowing that you have no condemnation. You know, there are people today in tears tonight. They can't live with the guilt of their sin. They can't live with their conscience. They are burdened. But the Lord Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. All that judgment, all that burden has been borne by him at Calvary. Shall not walk in darkness. Jesus spoke again. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but I'll have the light of life. You know, I wonder what you think of your life. We've thought about it already. But you think that you've got life in a little box, maybe. This is how it is. But if you receive Christ tonight, you'll realise this, that you're just walking in darkness. The Bible says we're like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned each one to their own way. And we all do this. We're all turning to our own ways. Yes, I know we've got different skills, but we're all turning to what we think we should be doing as far as God is concerned. Well, I think I might attend Loham Church every so often, better keep in with God. Or maybe I just need to do this little thing for charity. You know, it'd be good. I need to, you know, and we think we're doing things, but you know, we're like sheep. We're just grazing on grass and we don't know where we're going until we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And we stop walking in darkness, but have the light of life. And dear friend tonight, the life that you can have in Christ is so much more. There's a man who gave his life to Christ. And somebody came up to him. He was down and out. He had a house in Canada. I can't remember the guy's name now, but anyway, he said, this a man came up to him and said, you know, what really has changed in your life? He said, come on, tell me. And this man had no idea of the change that had happened to this guy's life. And he said, well, listen, before I was saved, I used to sit on orange boxes, but God has given me a sofa. He's saying, what? A strange thing to say. You see, he was a down and out. He didn't have anything. He was a drunkard. But Christ came in. his addictions were now given over to Christ. His addiction was not now on alcohol. His addiction really was the living Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a house before he met Christ, but he had a home afterwards. And he had a wife, and he had children, and he could establish a family home and a worship centre for his family. You see, he was in darkness, but he had the light of life shine on in his life. And then sin, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. You can never defeat sin or addiction or anything that has dominion over you without Christ. My dad knew this when he was younger. He 21, he gave up drinking and smoking. He never went back to it. Now, don't get me in apologetics. I know the Bible says that, you know, people drink alcohol, and I'm not saying anything like that. But listen, anything that holds you, you can't stop and get rid of it in your own strength, is something that you can get rid of with Christ. You see, God replaces it. The trouble is with addiction nowadays is we try to just stop it. That's a really difficult thing to do. I mean, there are physical addictions. I could show you a few faces over the years. There are physical addictions, and it's dangerous physically to stop that addiction. But even if it's not a physical addiction, a psychological addiction, whatever it is, it's very difficult to just stop. Even if you went in and spoke to mental health representatives, they'll say, yes, absolutely, you can't just stop it. What they'll say is you've got to replace it with something else. And sometimes it's just another addiction. It comes straight in. But sin, Paul says, will not have any dominion over you, for you're not under law, you're under grace. And Christ coming into your life is like grace. And no longer are you addicted to that thing which has held you, but you're addicted over to Christ. You have been given relief and forgiveness, and you realise that Christ has the answer to my every need. Do you believe that? Christians, do you believe that? Do I believe it? That Christ has everything that I need. What a challenge it is to us as believers here. Do I think that God is bigger and better and has everything I need for my life? That's the challenge. So the road sign is stop. We're finished now. Don't panic. You're just about to fall asleep, so you don't have to now. But the road signs are stop. God wants to warn you, but God wants to give you. He wants to stop you because it's like seeing a child run down a hill as he gets steeper. Your feet are leaving behind you and you're starting to run towards the hill. You older ones know that. Come on. It doesn't seem 5 minutes since you were running like a five-year-old down the lane. And now it seems like the end of your life comes so quickly. God is looking and watching like a father from heaven. And he wants you to stop and reach out to Christ who's died to save you. But God wants you to stop those here that are young. Not to stop you, to constrict you or restrict you. He wants you to stop because he has so much good to give to you through his word. So I hope you're going to stop. I hope you're going to think about it. I'm sorry about the technological problems we had earlier. But listen, that's just technology. What matters really is your heart and your soul. And where are you going? Heaven or hell? And I can't wait for the Lord to come to the air. And wouldn't it be lovely? I'm coming up from Colford. It'd be lovely to just see some faces in the crowd in the heavens. And I'll think, They were at Loham. There's the folk from Loham. Wouldn't it be lovely to see your faces? It would be even nicer to see the Lord. And you can enjoy that experience too. So listen, when you're driving next time, which will be later today or tomorrow, look at the stop signs, read the signs, think about what they mean, and remember, God wants you to stop to save you, but he wants you to stop so he can keep you and bless you for the rest of your earthly life and for your eternal life that comes through knowing him. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We feel, Father, we just don't always know how to put things across. We use technology that distracts us, Father. Forgive us for that. But we just want to understand thy word. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And yes, Father, we remember that you want us to stop to warn us, but you more want us to stop so that we may enjoy the goodness from thyself. Soul food, Father, the word of God, and that we may live. We remember thy word, Father, is like that plumb line of a building that tells us where we are as far as good and bad is concerned. And we have fallen short, Father, we know that. But we do pray that we would not fall short. Though we know we've fallen short, that we would receive the forgiveness that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thy promise is that if we have him, we have life. If we have him, we are forgiven. The judgment that was ours was borne by him at Calvary. And we can believe and be saved. And our lives mean something. Our physical lives here, Father, will mean something more than they ever have done before. But Father, our spiritual life will be there. And we will be sensitive to thy very words, hearing thy voice speak to us. We thank thee for it and pray that all of us may know what it means. We give thee thanks and thank you for the folk here, Father, for their patience and temperance with us. We give thee thanks in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, I think we've got him. Yeah, I think we've got him, haven't we? Three.